Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, help us to discern the times we live in and to understand what we ought to do in the middle of this busy world that we live in, with so much going on around us. We ask for the ability to discern what is most important and what to do with the time that we have here on earth, and how to prepare for the things that are going to be troubles in the future. We seek to understand, and we ask for you to guide us in godly wisdom for interacting with the people around us as we remind them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news that it is. We know how important it is to pray, and we pray in Jesus' name as we ask these things. We do know that prayer has an effect in the world around us. I certainly do. When I have been recovering in the past, I have known that people were praying for me, and the professional medical people, they never say anything like, oh, how amazing it is that the prayer is working. But they do notice that you are healing well. And when you can understand what it is that they are looking at and the surprise in their face, you know that something is going on. And the big thing that I knew at the time was people were praying. So that was absolutely the most important understanding that I had, which was prayer makes a big difference in our life and my recovery. And that was a wonderful thing to know. Prayer was great. And now I pray for people more than I ever used to, because I know how effective it is. Well, we do seek to understand God's word and the nature and character of God. And we pray in that way that is in alignment with God's will. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us and teaching us about your way, your plan, and your purpose that you have for each one of us. Many people know Jesus Christ and love the grace that he has for us. And may we also have love that we have for God as we seek to be faithful in every way to our Lord and our God. As we have things going on in the world, we see the troubles. Troubles in this world, yes, sometimes they're personal, sometimes it's our country having problem, sometimes it is, well, fires, floods, and earthquakes. Look at the disorders that are happening in the world. They're natural things that are just causing problems. And we pray for God to work things out and protect us in the midst of the natural disasters that are going on. We pray for mercy, especially for those who are the innocent people around us. We know that there is much that we want to have on hand, and it can go from the simple to the complex. Water, food, and warmth. How about electricity and phone service? Yes, we want these basic things to be available to us, and we want God to help us to have them work for us and our loved ones. The world around us is having plenty of problems. We pray for the people that we know and love. We pray for the people that we don't know, and pray for their relationship to grow in Christ Jesus. Every year there seems to be new problems going on, and every year millions of people are affected by all sorts of things, by the water being shut off. I'm thinking of Mexico City a couple of years ago. That was a big thing, where basically all their water was stopped, and they had to have watering trucks come in and deliver water to the residents. Now there's something in Kabul, Afghanistan, where much of the water was cut off for natural reasons. But there are plenty of big cities where millions of people, 3, 5, 10 million people, have been affected and have no water. Or they have to rely on the water trucks, and they have to pay per gallon for how much they take out of the water truck. And there are shortages of food all over the world. We have things like shortages of gasoline. We have things like shortages of whatever it is we need. Maybe it's electrical wire. Maybe it's baby food. But there are shortages going on like never before. And we want to pray that God helps us to get what we need. As you look in the war time in the past, there have always been shortages. And prayers has made a difference. You think of the people who are, they have books written about them for how they have been obedient to Christ in the third world countries often enough, or in wartime. And you do read about their prayers being answered, whether it was for food or warmth or something that they just needed to live. And God has answered their prayers as they have been faithful, and how they, well, I remember the ones who have preached the gospel in the books, and that was a way of being faithful. And perhaps we can learn a lesson from that, and that we can learn to share the gospel. The scripture talks about that too. That's a part of our job, is to preach the good news of the gospel to every creature and every living person around us. And knowing what is coming, the Bible in Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about the hard times, that there will be wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. So we know things are going to happen, and it just is a good idea to get prepared for the just in case that are going to happen. And that means we know there will be famine, because that is mentioned in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we also know that famine is something that always happens in the world. It happens during wartime. It happens during a change of weather patterns. It is frequent. It happens when people make mistakes, or that people do it intentionally to another person or another country. Food is always good, so I hope you will get some, just some basic food. And when I think of that, I think of rice and beans, white rice, and any kind of beans you like. You might like lentils instead, but there are things that you can get that are relatively inexpensive, and you can get a few pounds of sugar too. There's always things you can buy to make your food taste pretty good. I've always liked to have a few dehydrated foods. It's not much, but it's something that makes a difference when you have some flavors to add to your normal rice and beans. Even if you have a dehydrated fruit, that is also something you can add to just plain and simple rice and beans. When you don't have any variety at all, everything is good. Now, it's a hard thing to explain to a person who has so many flavors and so many spices, like we all seem to have in our kitchen nowadays. But if you were, well, let's say you were roughing it, or on a hike or something, someplace where you really did not have access to your normal kitchen, you would find that if you were hungry, even the simple things like rice and beans with salt and pepper, they taste pretty good. And then if you want to add another flavor, well, it can be any flavor you have. Vanilla, salt and pepper, mint, things that you just wouldn't expect would have any value that you would like, but just to have a variation and the food that you have is pretty wonderful. So that's what you do as a part of your food storage program. Even if you have peaches or pears or one of those fruits, you add that in with your white rice or beans, and the change in flavor is worthwhile to have. And I know how strange this sounds, because we have so much good food that we never think of having the simple, plain foods that we have. But yeah, I've been hungry before, and I've had to rely on that kind of food, or a can of anything, vegetables to add to your rice, a can of commercially made beans, or a can of beef. All these things are really good to have. Add bouillon to it. All these things will make it so that it's a change, and you can eat the food that was getting boring, like white rice and beans. But that's what you do when that's all you have. It's not what we're used to. But if we ever have the famine that is described in the Bible, we would be glad to have those simple flavors that would change what we eat into something just a little bit different. Add a few spoons of brown sugar, that's another thing, or of honey, or of something that just makes a little difference in the flavor, and it's something you get to like. Well, we have things that are going on all around us in life. We have a world that is full of change, that is full of tension, and even there is war going on. There is terrorism. There is things that are challenges for us. And that's another thing to get through as we show our love and compassion for our neighbor, all of our neighbors. And then we have a group of people who we help and who can help us with whatever it is that we have during a hard time. That's been a historical pattern. It's happened all through history when there have been wars and rumors of wars. Somebody would have a chicken, and that would be another flavor. It's hard to believe that suddenly a lamb or a chicken or something could add flavor and give nourishment. But all those things, they do. They're something different. Oh, sorry. I remember a time when I had an old chicken that was prepared for me in a village in Asia. Not just me, but the few people I was with. We were on a mission trip. And that chicken was the toughest chicken I've ever eaten in my whole life. But it had flavor. And so even if it's something we wouldn't want to eat, didn't like eating, it still has a flavor that is different from plain old white rice and beans. So that's what we do when we get a few things into our food storage. Even the different colors of beans make a difference. White beans, black beans, lima beans, pink beans, they all have a different flavor. Or you can add lentils. They all make a difference when you're hungry. And that's what I'm talking about, for having a storehouse of food for when things get really rough. And we can only anticipate that that's what will happen, because that has happened in the Bible. It's what we do when we consider what it is that we want to have our life go well, even in a time of trouble. When we are part of a Christian community, or any other community, a community of people who likes to have any uniform interest, whatever it is. You might have a basket weaving community. You might have a community that is farmers. You might have a community that likes cars. Whatever it is something that is a common bond that you can share that interest with, and then take care of each other. Yeah, just like You can have a Christian group, a church group, and there are people who care for one another. It also is something that every group will have to know, that there will have to be some sort of a medical situation. Now, there's always going to be people who get sick, whether they're old people, middle-aged people, or young people. A lot of people just have something happen. Sometime they eat something that you would call it a poison, and so they have to get past that time of having poison in their body. And so, whatever it is, you might have a flu virus, and somebody needs to be taken care of. Somebody needs to have their sheets washed. And though these are things that we do as a community, as we love one another, we have a system which takes care of people who are not very able to take care of themselves. And eventually they get stronger. Or some of them die. And so you'll need a burial detail too. Along with a burial detail, you will need to record whatever happened, because if there ever is a few people that are oral officials that are looking at the number of people in your area, and if somebody dies, you will have to know that. So make notes of the treatment that you give people, or the health, the birth and death of people. All these are important if you're going to be a community on your own. Now, a lot of people talk about what could happen, and that's something we all have to search out. What could happen? Sorry, I was just thinking about the time that I was in the hospital, a time of what could happen. There I was, healing. Well, this is an interesting part. So I'd been in the hospital for a few days, and they brought somebody into the room I was in. It was a man who, he cussed a lot. He used the Lord's name in vain. And he was mildly apologetic about it, but not really. Anyway, he continually asked for his sons to be there. And you know what? They were there. They came in for most of those 4 days. And I didn't hear anybody say they loved one another, but they just asked for each other's company. It was kind of interesting. And like I said, that man certainly did cuss a lot. I guess the most amazing part of that time was when I was awakened one morning about 5 o'clock, and for a whole hour, 5 to 6, I heard screams. I heard howling. I heard creatures. And it was something I couldn't understand, and I didn't get any relief as I prayed. But I did notice that there were some really hideous screams going on. And I really couldn't tell if I was hearing them in my ears or where it was coming from. Well, that was from 5 to 6 a.m. And then at 6:30 a.m., a couple of nurses came in, and they moved me and my bed to another room. I don't know what happened. When you're in a hospital, nobody talks about things. But there I was moved. And when I think about the howling sounds, I think of the hounds of hell. And I just wondered if that's what happened, if the hounds of hell came for that man's soul. And then he passed into the next life, and they were cleaning the room up. Now, I don't know what happened. They don't tell you what happened. But I remember that experience, and I know that nobody wants to have the hounds of hell come for them. You want to have God's angel come and take you to heaven. And for that, we want to be faithful to God as we live. We want to be obedient. We want to do what he says. And to do what God says, it surely helps to know what our Bible says. What does our Bible say? It says a lot of things. Preach the gospel to every creature, for one. And, yeah, that's Mark 16:15. Preach the gospel to all the world, to every creature. So, that's what we want to do to be faithful. And we all have a different idea of how to be faithful, but the point is we have to do it as we live. I think of all sorts of things. But I'm thinking of Ezekiel chapter 3. Well, there's 3:18, there's chapter 33. But the point is Ezekiel is saying that we want the wicked to turn from their ways. And we want to tell the wicked, yes, to turn from their ways. And that way, our soul will be saved from the iniquity of keeping quiet. So it's something we all learn a little bit here and a little bit there in the Bible, and we want to faithfully follow the Bible and do what God tells us to do. Warn the wicked. Preach the good news of the gospel. And do these things often. Now there's things that we learn from the sermons on Sunday. There are things that a pastor or a priest will tell us. And there is much that we can listen to and much that we can learn as we read the good news of the gospel. Our Bible has so many good messages in it and helps us to know how to live. That is something we want to do, to pay attention to what is written. We can even mark it or write it down and dwell on it as we pray and ask God to show us the truth of what we read, His truth. That's what we do. You know, the Bible has so many different parts of it. The Bible has just stories about borders and walls, and we think about having a border wall on our borders, north and south of America. And so, yes, these things are biblical, and we learn about the context that they are in. The context of our culture, the context of the ancient cultures. And that's a part of what we search out. Well, I think of the cultures of those ancient days and how the Jewish people would let foreigners into their culture, but they had to learn the culture. And I think of our American culture today. We do let people into our country and our culture also. And we want people to learn the American culture, the American ways. Then they are more welcomed as a person to come to America. That's a part of what we have as a guideline in front of us. It's written about in the Bible, and we can understand it and apply it to our life today. And so we have guidelines for what happens. We have a limited number of people coming into our country so that they can learn the culture. And this is much different from having 10 or 20 or 40 million people coming into America across one of the borders, like the southern border. Now, that was going on for the last few years. And that is not the kind of open borders that the Bible tells us is a good idea. So it's something we can always learn as we study Scripture and try to do things in a way that uses the Bible as an example. The borders are an interesting question, and how we deal with them and how we show our love for the foreigner or the people who not know the God of the Bible. Last month there was something going on at the Arizona border. The border was shut down between U.S. and Mexico along the Arizona border because there was something going on in the earth, and the National Guard were there in Arizona to make sure that things were being done correctly. There was law enforcement all over the border area, and it was discovered that there were miles of tunnels under the border to and from Arizona, from Mexico. The tunnels had electricity and ventilation in them. The tunnels had supply rooms and break rooms and plenty of guns in those tunnels. And the tunnels were hundreds of feet long. Well, the total length was said to be even miles. I think we will know the full extent of what there was underground as time goes on. But these underground tunnels had sound-absorbing material all around them, and there were electronic absorbing materials also in the layers around the tunnel. It was a very expensive and extensive project that went on under the surface of Arizona at the border. It was a huge discovery where federal, state, and local law enforcement rushed in to find out what was going on. There was surveillance and intelligence studies, and studies about why there was a failure to find these tunnels. It was all very interesting. It was a great big project, as American authorities were searching what went on and how to evaluate the threats that were right in front of them. And we, as Americans, also need to understand the threats that are going on around us so that we can respond appropriately, whether it is to pay more money for further searches to be done or to speak to the people, or for having our authorities speak to the people who used those tunnels. It's a great big thing to have miles of tunnels that were discovered. The evidence in the tunnels was that those tunnels had been used for more than 10 years. What a long time. More than 10 years they had, I can't say documents, but they had some of the evidence to show that they had been used for more than 10 years. And so far, there was solid evidence of people using the tunnels. There was solid evidence of documents being made to give to the people who used the tunnels. So, yes, there was semi-solid evidence, and in some cases, not usable evidence, and in other cases, it showed something about those tunnels with guns and documents. So, yeah. And then as I would read about these, I also read that there were people who didn't believe it. They said it was a made-up story. It was not true. And yet you have other people who tell you it was true. I guess we're going to have to wait a little longer to see what the full story is about these tunnels under Arizona. But we have, the way I see it, we have reason to believe it is completely true. And when you consider the things that were left behind, not much, but there were some documents left behind, and you have the evidence of what did go on with big equipment and how it had been, like I said, more than 10 years of use, how there were hidden rooms, hidden networks, hidden outlets to the surface and to ranch houses around that tunnel. And then when you think of other countries, especially around Israel, especially in Gaza, when you have had miles of tunnels under Gaza, around Israel. And so you know that those were real, and therefore you can understand that the tunnels under Arizona would also be real. But I'm afraid we will have to wait until we get more information. But if you look, you will see pictures of the tunnel system, and you will see pictures of the tunnels themselves. You will hear evidence of law enforcement going here and there to search it out. You will hear concern about the terrorists and the criminals who would have used such a tunnel. You will find there was evidence of a country being involved with making it happen because of the expertise that was used and the cost of such a giant project with a huge level of sophistication. Something that would take years in the making. It's something which we can understand because we've seen it in other countries around the world. And we know how 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes how in the end days, men's heart will grow cold, and that means that evil will blossom. And this is a part of disharmony, a part of lawlessness. And so we can see that it is natural to have it go on for there to be tunnel work and lawbreakers. I think of Revelation chapter 18, which describes the destruction of Babylon and how Mystery Babylon was in existence. And we can only see the kind of things that are going on and wonder, how can it be happening in our world? Well, it sure seems to be. And we want to make sure that we remain faithful to God as we search out understanding for what goes on in our world, as we pursue the righteousness of Christ and faithfully follow Jesus Christ. We certainly do live in exciting times, and we know that the powers of God are going to dominate evil. But we also know there is a contest going on where good and evil are challenging one another in the spirit. So we might wonder what we are going to do. What do you think we should do about this great big contest between good and evil? Well, we want to make sure that we are following Jesus Christ with the goodness of God. I think about Joshua chapter 24, something like verse 14, where there is a contest between God that is presented by Joshua, and it is against scores of servants, many servants of Baal. That is what is going on in that Joshua chapter 24. Now Joshua clearly wins, and the servants of Baal clearly lose. They were slaughtered. But here we have a contest between God and evil. And that's something we want to remember is going to go on. Therefore, we want to be faithful to follow God. In the days to come, there will be troubles, and we know that. We know that this contest between God or Baal is a part of who will we choose to serve. Who will we follow, God or Baal? And when I say Baal, I really mean the god of this world. We think of all the things that we want, and most of them have to do with the riches of this world. That's just human nature. But we want to make sure that we are following the will of God as we seek things. Let us seek the goodness and holiness of God more than the things of this world. Well, we have choices. We make the choices every day, and we make the choices all throughout life for who we will follow. Just like Joshua said, if God is God, then follow him. If God is Baal, then follow Baal. So, we know the difference between a good God and an evil God. And if you don't, read the Bible. It's pretty clear. So, we want to pursue God of the Bible. And that means we choose to be obedient to God and God's will rather than even our own will, because our own will has to do with, so often, things of this world. And we want to follow our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. In a way, the choice is simple, and in a way, the choice is clear. And somehow, we have to understand it and let things make a difference in our life, so that we are following the Holy Spirit of God. Which reminds me of walking on that narrow path that leads to life in heaven. And otherwise, there is a great big broad road, which is considered a highway, to hell. So we want rather to go to the wedding feast, which has an eternity in heaven, and not go on that highway that leads to destruction, which we understand to be hell. That's all about reading Matthew chapter 7. It's clear what goes on, and we have a choice of who are we going to follow in this life. Therefore, will we seek to go to heaven, or do we allow our soul to go to hell? Well, we choose the narrow path to that heavenly place, or the highway that leads to hell. I know there's plenty of pastors and teachers and preachers and priests who warn about what we are to do as we live, and somehow we have to remember that it is the Bible that we are following and not what makes sense to us for what we want or don't want. We are to read and observe and obey God's word, which is in the Bible, as we are born again, because that's really the key. John 3:3, we are to be born again, or we will not see the kingdom of God. That means we follow Jesus, and we read our Bible so that we are guided on how to live and how to follow Jesus. Because we do want that wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ, and we want to live intentionally as we go through life. That's kind of an interesting thing, because life is so busy. Sometimes it gets chaotic. Sometimes we just can't keep up with everything there is to keep up with, and we get distracted. Our focus is diverted, And we just need to refocus on Jesus. And often enough, it helps to read the Bible. Because there are all sorts of people in the world that we do not want to follow. We don't want to follow the so... Well, there are good aspects to all these people. But overall, if we follow socialism or communism or a tyrant, we end up going to a philosophy and a lifestyle that is the opposite of what God wants us to have. You look it up. You check it out, and you see what kind of things are going on. Now, if we look at those ungodly philosophies, we see there is a discussion, strong discussion, about finding order out of chaos. And that's something that is kind of common in the world now. We see quite a few people who propose finding order out of chaos. And really what that means is making things so bad that most of the people will choose order that you present. And the order that you present could be socialism, it could be communism, it could be a tyrant. But that is a part that has been actively gone on for hundreds and thousands of years. You make the situation so bad that the opportunity that is presented to you is the only order that you can understand. And so you choose that order. You choose what you see is better than chaos. That's why these groups have that saying of finding order out of chaos. Of course, it is a manipulation, and it is not what God's order is about. God's order has promises in it. It has a description of what happens when you are obedient to God. And also, what happens when you are not obedient to God. And then, when you get to see how serious it is either to be evil or be within the goodness of God, you, of course, choose the goodness of God. But we have lots of people who know how to make promises. Yeah, and promises is one of those things that those order out of chaos people do. They promise you everything, and then they deliver nothing. That is the pattern that has gone on for thousands of years. Yes, hundreds. Yes, thousands of years. And some of them are socialist patterns. Some of them are communist patterns or tyrannical patterns. It's been going on through time and through systems of government and through countries. It's not new. There's just a new way to look at it, a new way that it is presented. And somehow you have to understand what the presentation means if you say yes to a certain pattern or if you say yes to God's pattern. But that means it, you really need to know what God's pattern is. And therefore, what a big help it is to know the Bible, to read it thoroughly and study it. Well, there's many people around in the world today. There are many laws in the world also. And somehow, we get to make sense of what is going on around us so that we will follow a good pattern and not an evil pattern. But it takes a person to look and study what is going on around us. In the middle of all the challenges, there are challenges all over the place. And somehow, we have to have that discernment to know to follow the goodness of God and not the, well, it's the chaos of evil. It's all in history. We can read history and see the pattern repeat. It's in the Bible too. It's quite similar when you have people who want power, and what do they do? Now, the Bible can make a really long story, quite short. And so we have to study the Bible history to understand how that short story can be increased and understood for the full effect of the understanding. And so we do that. Often enough, we have pastors and people who do that, and they have a sermon about it. That's kind of typical. And somehow, we have not just the Bible to know and understand, but we also have some of our wonderful founding documents of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, especially those. But there are also were compacts, which means agreements, such as the Mayflower Compact. Oh, there were about eight of them before the Constitution was written. And they all have a little different emphasis on how people would live a godly life in early America. So, 1400s, there were a number of them written. And so we have this thing where we're trying to understand what our history of America presents. And it's a little bit of a study, or a lot of a study, and somehow that is what we want to do, to study. Study to show ourselves approved, but also to understand. I think of John Adams, who spoke about our Constitution, and he said, our Constitution is meant only for a religious and a moral people. Now, at that time, a religious people, they were Christians in the country. So that's what he meant. I should say that's what I understand he meant when John Adams spoke about religious people. He meant they were the Christian people who understand the philosophy of the Bible and how wonderful and good it was. Well, I think of other of our founding fathers. I think of Thomas Jefferson. And he said that we must be an educated people. And we might wonder, what does educated mean relative to the founding of our country and the creation of our republic? Well, I think of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And do we really know what the Constitution says? I know there's a few people who can repeat the opening line of the Constitution, and there's some people who can remember more. But that is a matter for, I think, we should study it and search out the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and how it affected life in America. There are promises in the verses. In the writing of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if we don't know what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights says, how do you expect to know what to support and what to struggle to preserve? If you don't know what it says, how do you understand it? I think of there's a lot of people now in the United States who do not know our heritage. They do not know the founding documents. And if they don't know what they said, how would anyone be expected to support a founding document? It's just words on a paper. But if you understand what our founders struggled for and our history, our tradition, then you can really support what has been written. I think of a quote from Thomas Jefferson, which goes, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never can be. Do you see how important this is? Thomas Jefferson is telling all of us that we have to be You could call it educated. You could call it studied. We have to study the things that are around us, such as our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and even our founding documents. I'll say that Thomas Jefferson quote again. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. We have a lot of wisdom that our founding fathers told us about, and it is up to us to learn it and to understand how to apply it in the middle of all the busyness that is in our life right now. Our life is busy. Our life has so many things going on. And yet we have to take a moment or two to understand and to discern what is going on around us. How can we have a godly sense of order? How can we follow our Christian foundation? Follow Jesus Christ. And of course, that means the words of the Bible, the philosophy of the Bible. And we have to know what it says to follow it. And that's what I hope every one of us does. I hope we all search out what we can to understand and follow, firstly, the Bible, and then our tradition of freedom, which is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if you want to make a study of it, look at the covenants. Look at the covenants, which were written before, 100 or 200 years before the Constitution. And that's what was written. And it's something what we can understand our godly history. Now, sure, I know that not everybody was a Christ follower in our history, but there were a lot of good people who wanted a lot of the benefits of freedom and liberty in America. Today we have to understand what the future of our life is, or that we want it to be, and then we can determine how we are going to live to show that we belong to God. What can we do in life to make this demonstration that we belong to God? It is a good thing to do today and every day. How do we prepare for a life in heaven if we have no idea what is written in the Bible or the supporting documents? Well, we do want to obey God. And there again, I will say, God's word is in the Bible. And if we can understand God's word, we can do ever so much better at living according to God's word. So we have to read it. We have to dwell on it. We have to know what it says in the Bible. And if you want to know more about what God would have you to do, what does God tell you to do? Well, study his word. Read the Bible. Seek understanding. You can read it, or you can listen to it on tape, or do both. And it's a matter of what we do. We do this to search out and to follow God. I think of James 4:8, where it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So you want that relationship with God? Of course we do. God is ever so loving and wonderful and just. As you see, that's a part two. A lot of people are concerned with the justice of God because they want to get away with things. "I don't want to be judged," they might say, but God's judgment is perfect and holy. And therefore we say yes, Lord, to his judgment, and we say yes, Lord, to how he tells us to live. We can all read the Bible ourselves, and in fact, that's the very best way to do it, because we hear people quote, you hear me quoting a little bit of Scripture here and there, but we get so much more out of Scripture if we read it. We get so much more out of Scripture if we study it. So that's what I urge every one of us to do. As we live in this most wonderful country, in this most wonderful world that God created, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you have given us so generously, that we get to even live in America. How wonderful. It is a country that we enjoy and we love and we thank you for. Well, we love it, but we love you ever so much more, and we love our brothers and sisters in Christ more also. So, Lord, guide us and protect us, we pray in Jesus' name. Well, we expect things to go very well, but they don't always go very well, and sometime we have to figure out how we are going to survive a hard time. How are we going to get through a spot in history that is difficult? And sometime we need to have provisions to help us get through an area of difficulty. So I have my preparedness page, which I invite you to write me for. Send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and I'll get that right back to you. I think of being prepared, and I think of what does it take to be prepared. I think of water, food, and warmth. But that's not all. It takes a community for long-term survival. And so we get through hard times when we have a little preparation. And I do think that if we dwell on it and write it out, we can get through some understanding of what we need for water, food, and warmth. I also think of 12-volt batteries and an inverter so that we can have a little electricity. What is important? It might be important to recharge our flashlights. It might be important to have a washing machine, if nothing else. If we have a great big power outage, what are we going to do? What is important to us? Well, we all make decisions, and if we make no provisions, we will have nothing. But we can make wise provisions if we dwell upon what we want and what we want to preserve for a difficult time of life. So write me for my preparedness page, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And always donations are welcome. And in the meanwhile, listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. Remember to be prepared with the gospel and a hymnal. I think those are the most important things. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love your neighbors as yourself. And love the people who are close to you. I pray in Jesus' name with you. And thank you for today. God bless you.